Hey, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and thanks for tuning in to episode 33 of the Bedatitudes podcast. I encourage you to start from the beginning because we build on each other, and we started by looking at the eight Bedatitudes. That's the way the eight Beatitudes apply to Catholic fatherhood and help us be fathers after the Heavenly Father's own heart. Now, having finished that, we're taking a look at the 12 practices that make up the liturgy of domestic church life. And so we are now in the second set of practices. This is the second rite of the liturgy of domestic church life, called the rite of family rituals. The last two episodes, we were talking about work rituals. Now we're going to be looking at play rituals and the role that dads have in helping kids learn healthy, godly ways to have fun. And, you know, this one's a little funny because men tend to fall into two categories. When it comes to this, you've got the fun dad, the dad who only wants to have fun and never wants to actually do the responsibilities, and because life's too short, right? And we want our kids to like us and we want to be the fun people. And then you've got the dads who only work, and never have fun because we were trained that our worth as men is tied up in what we can produce and how much we can make and how we provide. And of course, both of those are errors, right? Because both of those stop us from being fully human. A fully human, godly man knows how to provide and knows how to work hard for his family and knows how to provide for his family. But part of providing for our family is also teaching them how to be human, helping our children grow up to be fully functioning, healthy human beings, which does mean having fun and relaxing and enjoying and knowing how to do that in ways that are affirming and healthy. Because the reality is, men, if we don't teach our kids healthy, godly ways to enjoy life and enjoy themselves, the world is more than happy to give them any number of opportunities to have fun in sinful and self-destructive ways. I worked with a family in counseling that... And I've shared this story in some of the other podcasts, but it's worth repeating. I worked with this family that had a number of children. And what they found was as each child would get to, say, about 14, 15, 16 years old, they would lose that kid. I mean, to alcohol, to just partying, to just lose the kid, you know. And they were a very faithful family. They prayed together. They had a family business, so they worked together a lot, but they never played together. And the more I talked with them, the more I realized what an issue this was, because what happened was as their kids hit adolescence, they wanted to know how to have fun in the world and how to engage and enjoy life. And they had no idea how to do that from their family of origin because their family never played together. They never had family days. They never had family game nights. They never enjoyed each other's company. And the one or two times they tried to do it, it went so badly that they never did it again. And so what ended up happening is that as each of their kids got a little bit older and went, as I said, like middle adolescence, 14, 15, 16 years old, they started believing that their parents couldn't teach them anything about how to have an enjoyable life. And so they just rebelled altogether. Now, that's why it's important for us to make time for playing together. Now, if all you do is play together, of course, that's falling apart on the other side, where, you know, human beings need to know how to do things and accomplish things. We need to learn how to be effective. And an important part of human development is teaching what psychologists call industry. In fact, there's a whole stage of human development, if you could remember back to Psych 101, called industry versus inferiority. And it's basically the stage right before adolescence, right? So we're talking about the middle school years, where we're learning how to do things and accomplish goals and finish projects and complete what we start. And the more we're able to learn industry, my ability to be effective and accomplish things, the more I'm able to feel good about myself. The less I'm able to learn that, the less I feel that I have a sense of efficacy, the more inferior I feel, and that undermines my self-confidence. So as dads, we want to make sure that we're learning how to teach our kids how to work, as we've been talking about in the last couple of sessions on our work rituals discussion, but also how to play and what it means to really enjoy being a human being. So what about like how to play? Like, what does that even mean? I mean, it's one of those things where people feel like if it doesn't come naturally to me, then I just don't do it. But because it's an important part of being human, then it's an important thing for us to learn how to do and how to do well. Play is what gives meaning to life. It is, believe it or not. So, for example, one of the things that theologians say makes the liturgy of the Eucharist a liturgy is that it's playful. Now, you don't normally think of going to Mass as playful, I'm sure. But what they mean by that is, as opposed to purposeful, right? So when something has a purpose, there's a product at the end. I have a reason for being here, and I'm going to produce a product at the end of it. I'm going to have something tangible to show for my effort. That's not why we go to Mass. We go to Mass to play, in a sense, to do this ritual, to engage in these objectively silly behaviors that actually produce a lot of really wonderful benefits, like giving us time to reflect, like reminding us of our dignity and worth as human beings instead of just human doings, of connecting with God and receiving His grace to become everything He created us to be and ultimately be able to enjoy eternal life with Him. All of those things are not really purposeful. You know, they don't pay the bills. They don't produce anything. They don't help us meet deadlines or accomplish goals. They just are. And they let us be. And that's really the basis for play. It enables us to learn how to be. So play doesn't necessarily mean being the Disneyland dad all the time. It can also mean just being the dad who creates space for us to, as Pope Francis encouraged parents to do, waste time together, to just be with each other and connect and feel good about having spent that time. You know, so play can be as simple as inviting a kid to go out on an errand with us and not making it really about the errand, but making it about connecting with them. Play could be, you know, working on a project around the house as long as it's with a kid, you know, and as long as it's about connecting with them and not just doing the task. We talked about this a bit in work rituals, that the Christian vision of work isn't just getting a task done. It's showing up for each other and building communion through service. Well, you know, play comes from that sense of connection, but also, you know, it involves a little bit more than just working together. It involves the laughing with each other. It involves the feeling special and feeling cherished that I get because you've spent time with me. And yeah, it involves, you know, things like games, whether that's sports or board games or other kinds of play activities. I want to throw out something else here, though. One other major problem that parents will tell me they run into whenever they're trying to play together as a family is that the kids don't all appreciate the same thing. We don't all enjoy the same games. We don't all enjoy the same activities. And this, you know, again, is kind of focusing on what I would say is more of a superficial and transactional approach to play instead of a relational approach to play. What I mean by that is that when you have a more superficial and transactional approach to play, it's what am I going to get out of this? You know, I only want to do things that I get something out of. There's a transaction. I give my time and you're going to give me enjoyment. I'm going to, you know, make sure that what I do, I specifically like. When you have a more relational approach, which is a more Christian approach to play, because we don't do anything as Christians that doesn't build relationship, because the whole idea of building the kingdom of God is about building relationship, right? You know, St. John Paul in his Theology of the Body really reminds us of this especially, that building the kingdom of God isn't about doing big things for Jesus. You know, all the big things for Jesus that we do, like building hospitals and schools and social welfare programs and all that, serve relationship, right? They're meant to help make relationship building easier. And so when we build relationship, we're building the kingdom. Play is an important part of building that relationship and building that kingdom. And so when we have a relational approach to play, what we're doing is saying, you know what, it doesn't matter what we do as long as we're doing it together. I just have fun being with you. And that takes some work. We need to learn how to get to that place, right? So at first, when you're trying to do something with your play a game with your kids, sometimes they might say, but I don't like that game. you know, I want to play this instead. And that's fine. You know, you can negotiate that by saying, well, you know, we can do this game this time and this game this other time, or we can do this activity this time and we can do this other activity you like better next time. But what we want to do is move beyond that and say, but, you know, the most important thing, the reason that we're doing this, the reason we're getting time to play together as a family, is so that we can learn to just enjoy each other, whatever we're doing. That the thing we're doing is less important than doing it together. I mean, I may have shared this before, but when my wife and I were dating, we were still in college, and the dorms were separated into men's dorms, women's dorms. But men's floors, women's floors in the same building. But the laundry room was a common area for both the men and the women. And so all of a sudden, it became really fun for me to do laundry, right? Because I got to hang out with my wife, my girlfriend then. And that was a kind of a play in the sense where we could just kind of be together and just kind of be having fun, being silly, doing laundry and hanging out together and enjoying each other. Again, that idea, I didn't particularly enjoy laundry, but I like being with her. And it was fun to be there in that same space doing that thing. In a similar way as families, it doesn't really matter what we do. It doesn't matter that not everybody enjoys the same game or enjoys the same activity. What matters is that we're cultivating that sense that, you know, it's just fun to be with you. I like spending time with you. And, you know, okay, so that, you know, Candyland isn't my favorite game, or this activity, you know, sports isn't my favorite thing, or that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that we're doing this together and we're trying to make a fun time out of it and give ourselves to that. And so when the kids are kind of fussing about that, one of the things you can ask them is, well, you know, I know that the activity isn't your favorite thing, but how could we work together to make this fun? How could we look for little ways to, you know, to really focus in on each other and take care of each other and we just have fun doing the thing, even if the thing itself isn't our favorite thing? So just kind of asking that question, putting that out there. We can talk more about, you know, how to handle it if the kids, you know, kind of fuss beyond that in a later episode. But right now, I just really want to focus on the importance of play, especially if it doesn't come naturally to you. The importance of modeling good and healthy and godly ways to have fun and enjoy each other's company. And the fact that for the Christian, everything, but especially play, is relational, not transactional. And so, you know, what I'd like you to do is just start thinking as a dad, you know, what are the times that we do enjoy each other? Don't think about games specifically, but think about the times when do we laugh together? You know, when do we feel more connected to each other? And how can I, as a dad, start facilitating more of those times? But don't do it all on yourself. Don't do it all by yourself, excuse me. Try to have a conversation where you get your wife and your kids buy-in on this too. Where you're sitting down and saying, hey guys, you know, when do we laugh together? When do we feel closer to each other? What are the things that we do that help us feel like we're having fun and connecting with each other? You know, and not just like what things do you like to do individually, kid, but what are the things that you feel like we're really getting along with each other? Now, you know, some families are going to say no, there's nothing, you know, and that's, you know, that's sad, but it's the reality for a lot of households, and that's okay. You just recognize where we need to start then is by saying, well, what are the things that you like to do individually and how can we start doing some of those things together? You know, even if it's not your thing, you know, even if it's the kid likes to play video games and you don't, well, start playing those games together. If your kid likes, you know, to do this hobby and you don't, that's okay. Start doing those things together as a family. You know, begin with the things that you all enjoy individually and take the opportunity to share those things with each other. If in fact you don't have a lot of things, that automatically or spontaneously happen. But if you do have some things that allow you to laugh together and feel more connected to each other, start with those. Ask, well, how can we be more intentional about getting those on the schedule regularly? How can we plan to make those things happen on a more regular basis instead of just waiting for them to happen spontaneously? And then, you know, if you do have some of those things, then the next question could be, with what I was just talking about, what are some of the things that we like doing individually that we'd maybe like to share with each other, or that would be fun to share with each other? Another opportunity, you know, whether we all like those same things or not, another opportunity to share experiences. You know, I will say this, intimacy, and of course I'm meaning emotional intimacy here. Intimacy comes from sharing experiences. Because when we share experiences together, that gives us a common, common, say, box of experiences to draw from. We have shared things that we can draw from, points of reference that other people don't have. You know, and we build those, and that allows us to, you know, finish each other's sentences. That allows us to get inside jokes. That allows us to feel connected because we understand each other because we've shared all these experiences. When families play together, that gives us a whole repertoire of experiences that allow us to draw from later on too. It's not so the play is a gift that keeps giving. Because it keeps giving meaning in the sense that, you know, we can reference that joke. We can reference that funny time. And we reference that time where we all laughed together. We reference that time where we had that experience that caused us all to just sort of fall down laughing. You know, and we're able to kind of bring that joy with us into the future because we've had those play experiences. Play can be a really important part of our Christian spirituality. Because again, like prayer, play is not purposeful. It's playful. And prayer is not purposeful. It's playful. It allows us to just be, to reflect and to enjoy and to realize what life is really all about. The bigger things that don't involve producing and purpose, but rather play and meaning and the joy of just being. Thanks for tuning in. If you've got questions about how to make more meaningful play rituals in your household, don't hesitate to post your questions to the Home Builder Forum in Catholic Home. Hope to see you there.